This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
In this hour, we will enjoy an exclusive interview as we remember the 20th anniversary of Operation Equinox. And you folks who've been around town for a while know what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't, Monday, March 21st, marks the 20th anniversary of a moment, an evening on Rugby Road and around the University of Virginia when federal agents launched Operation Equinox, and they descended on a number of UVA fraternities. They arrested, I believe, six students actually served time in federal prison, four in a state jail, all but one of the 11 returned to the university to earn a bachelor's degree, and one stayed to earn a master's degree. Some have gone on to earn PhDs and are now attorneys. Jamie Graham, a graduate of Mr. Jefferson's University, was one of those young men who was arrested in the spring of 1991. He went to prison, and he joins me now live in studio. Jamie, welcome back to Charlottesville.
Oh, hey, Coy. How are you doing?
Very good. I'm glad you're here. And we also want to let folks know that you're not just in town to hang out with us here on the radio program. You'll be speaking on the actual 20th anniversary of Operation Equinox at the university.
Right? Yes, I will. I will be speaking at Gibson Hall, 341 or 343. I'm not exactly sure. Well, they're next to each other. So if I'm not in 341, I'm in 343. I'll be speaking at 7 o'clock for approximately an hour. Students for Individual Liberty and the normal chapter, National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws at UVA, are sponsoring it.
And so Jamie Graham speaking at the university Monday night. It's a free event open to the public, 7 p.m. in Gibson Hall. Jamie, we want to talk about your story. We want to talk about what happened to you. And now, 20 years later, putting this event in context, in mm-hmm. what for you is your own personal history context. And we should let folks know that at the time, this was tremendous national news. It was a big story in Rolling Stone. It was covered very, very widely in the media. When did you first come to UVA?
I started in fall of 1988. I grew up in Virginia, although I was born in Philadelphia. I came to UVA here. I was an Eccles Scholar. And
for folks who don't know what that is, that's the best of the best, right?
Well, I mean, it's the honors program here at UVA. It has certain rewards, priority for classes. You don't have to major, which is actually something I took advantage of.
To declare a major. You just take whatever courses you want, right?
Yeah, I have a Bachelor of Arts in the liberal arts, which is the vaguest degree ever.
Yeah. When did you go to prison?
I went to prison in September of 1991, and I got out on August 11th of 1992. I served. I was sentenced to 13 months in prison. I received 51 days of good time, and so I served 11 months a week and a day, which is 343 days, 7 times 7 times 7 days exactly, not that I was counting.
Yeah, and where were you in prison? It was near Richmond, right?
Yes, I was in a federal prison camp, Petersburg. It was outside of Petersburg, Virginia.
Jamie Graham is with us. The story of Operation Equinox in this hour, behind the scenes, arrested as a University of Virginia honor student. And you were, what was the official charges? You were charged with what?
Distribution of a controlled substance within 1,000 feet of a school zone. I was in the Tau Kappa Epsilon fraternity house, and the school in question was the Venable Elementary School. I did not have anything to do with the Venable Elementary School, but well, in under federal law and under the way it was understood by the courts, 1,000 feet is 1,000 feet. So yeah. I was within 1,000 feet of the Venable Elementary School. Yeah.
Let's rejoin our conversation with Jamie Graham, a graduate of the University of Virginia. Jamie went to prison in 1991 after being arrested in March of that year as part of Operation Equinox. Jamie, explain Operation Equinox to the folks who have never heard of it.
Operation Equinox was an investigation and a drug raid at the University of Virginia. It was a joint local federal task force investigation. It was under the JADE task force, the which basically allowed local officers, local Charlottesville officers, my case, it was an undercover officer named Mike Deeds. He was a Charlottesville police, but he was deputized as part of the federal task force, which allowed them to either take his arrests and send them state or federal. It started, the investigation began around the fall equinox of 1990 and continued till the spring equinox with the raid. This was aimed at the University of Virginia. It targeted, well, three fraternities were seized, Tau Kappa Epsilon, Teak, my fraternity, Phi Epsilon, and Delta Epsilon, DU.
Yeah. And there were, we've talked many times about, looking back now, you can sort of see some political motivations for this, right?
Well, the thing is, the Charlottesville police were, the weird thing is we're having this story about Operation Equinox, but in the African-American community here in Charlottesville, there'd been a lot of people have been arrested. I'd say probably about, you know, at least an Operation Equinox a month in the African-American community here in Charlottesville. And the police were receiving criticisms over the fact that almost all of their anti-drug efforts were aimed at African-Americans and poor people here in Charlottesville. And they were ignoring what was going on at the University of Virginia. So they began this operation. Also, the feds got involved. Looking back at it, obviously, maybe I'm not an unbiased source on this, but I think to a degree it was an act of tokenism because it wasn't really followed up by a systematic targeting of UVA students. I'm not saying that would have been a good thing, but the thing is, it was basically this sort of one-off raid. And just so that they could, they had cameras out there. We ended up in the national news. My relatives in Philadelphia first found out that I was arrested by picking up the Philadelphia Inquirer and reading my name in it. It hit everywhere. And this was over, in my case, it was worth over two doses of LSD, and I ended up in the national news. So I think that they really played up the PR aspect of it to essentially amplify the 12 students arrested in a way to essentially kind of distract from the fact that the vast majority of their anti-drug efforts were aimed at poor, mostly African-American people in Charlottesville.
It was a way of saying, perhaps, that, we're targeting these rich white kids at UVA, too, but it was just that one night 20 years ago.
occasionally there have been subsequent drug raids, but they're usually like once every 5-10 years. I remember one happened right before I came back for the 10th anniversary. In fact, I was getting a little nervous coming into the 20th. I'm like, oh, no, they're not going to raid the place again. But, but the thing is, they just do this periodically, and it's kind of more of a stunt. They get the cameras out. They bust a few students. It doesn't really have any effect on the actual drug trade at the university. From what I had heard from, let's just say, sources in the know, after the raid, there was actually a phenomenon of people picking up the paper and going, wait, there was a big drug raid at the University of Virginia. I bet you there are a lot of people at UVA who want to buy drugs. And apparently there were drug dealers coming into Charlottesville
after that.
And apparently there was, kind of almost a mini glut that hit a couple months after.
Well, I will say I was a reporter at the time and I, in the years after that, and there was a survey at UVA, the Institute for Substance Abuse did a survey at UVA within 5 years of Operation Equinox and found that drug use among students had actually doubled in their survey. Whether the survey is accurate, I don't know, but that's what they found. We're talking with Jamie Graham. He was arrested in March of 1991. The actual 20th anniversary is Monday, March 21st, and he was sent to prison for nearly a year as a part of Operation Equinox. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Chris is with us in Earliesville. Chris, thank you for the call. You go right ahead.
Sure. This has been really interesting. It's taking me back about 20 years ago because I was actually in one of the fraternities that was targeted. Luckily, I wasn't living there at the time, so it didn't affect my sort of day-to-day life as it did a lot of other people. But I just wanted to share two quick stories with you.
Sure thing.
One was a friend of mine had just gotten out of the shower, had nothing to do with this, with any of the drugs or anything, and all of a sudden a policewoman kicked in his door in his room as he's standing there in his towel. Interesting moment for him to remember. And the other was Jamie is describing it just how I remember it. And the one story in particular was the front page picture was taken trying to line up all the drugs to show how many there were, and that you could tell they really had to fool around with the angle to make it look bigger than it was, because there really wasn't much there at all.
Chris, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And we have a line open at 977-1070. Was there a big haul?
Oh, yeah, I remember the picture of the haul. I remember showing people, like, because I ended up in a federal prison and I got to meet lots of people who had lots of experience dealing drugs, and they thought that picture was hilarious. They thought that was such a pathetic, sad display of drugs, because it wasn't like the table full of guns or the kilos of cocaine. It was like a bunch of bongs and bowls and I think like some, you know, and frisbees with marijuana residue in it. Because
probably,
I
mean, what you'd expect to find in
exactly.
Some fraternity house.
Yeah, and most everybody, I mean, the reaction I've gotten when I've told the story to other people is, well, that could have happened at my fraternity house. I mean, I generally get a sense from people when I tell people the story that, oh, that could have happened to me. It could have happened at my fraternity house. I mean, it. And so the thing is, I mean, one thing that does allow me to kind of cope with this, and is the thing is, I am a convicted felon, and that has its encumbrances. But at least when I can explain my story, I don't usually get this sort of sense of horror, like, oh my god, you know, oh my god, you can't be here. You can't.
You get
work.
A lot of people saying, "Hey, that could have been me in college."
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's
because you were what, 21 years old.
Right? I was 21 years old, so you know it's a and I mean, you know, it's a and so it's kind of like, well, I did pretty much what a lot of, I mean, I used illegal drugs at UVA, and while maybe that wasn't a good thing, you know, it was kind of unusual that I got busted for it. One thing that also, when I look back at it now, like when I looked at it before, I used to think of it from the viewpoint of the average experience of a illegal drug user at UVA, which is that they could expect nothing to happen to them. And now that I work as a social worker, mainly with people in Philadelphia and so forth, among, you know, minority use and so forth, a lot of them get busted for drugs. They're subject to stop and frisk quite frequently. So yeah. If they're a marijuana smoker and they're in certain neighborhoods of Philadelphia, there's a very good chance that at some point a Philadelphia cop is just going to grab them and go through their pockets. And so for them, it's not that unusual to get busted for drugs. So now I kind of compare myself more to the experience of drug users in the city and so forth. So I don't feel quite so bad, but it's like getting struck by lightning to have gotten busted for something like this at the University of Virginia. It was, you know.
We're talking with Jamie Graham, arrested in March of 1991 in Operation Equinox, remembering the 20th anniversary. Jamie will be speaking at UVA Monday evening. Eric is in Charlottesville. Eric, thanks for the call. You go right ahead.
Yeah, Jamie, great to hear you again. I heard you years ago speak for Students for Individual Liberty. And Jamie's story, you know, really is an excellent sort of snapshot of how brutal and stupid the drug war is. I mean, here's a guy that was absolutely no threat to anyone, harming no one, caught by entrapment, a snitch. We have the incredibly stupid and brutal civil asset forfeiture sort of aspect to this, where the property is guilty and they can seize entire fraternities for very small amounts of an illegal substance. And all the while, the cops are, you know, going after, for all intents and purposes, Cheech and Chong. They could be going after Manson and Dahmer. And so Jamie spends, what, a year in jail while other violent criminals are out there doing other things. This just makes no sense. So I'm hoping, and I'm wondering if Jamie and Coy, if you guys are finding this also, that when you talk about being able to explain your story and have people sort of not be shocked by it, that maybe we're finally reaching a tipping point where enough people our age remember this and are now trying to sort of change this drug war to a sane situation where we don't put people in jail for nonviolent activity, and that maybe we can use the criminal justice system for what it's really intended for. Is that what you're finding more, you think, Jamie, now? People are sort of, do you find that we're at a tipping point? Maybe people's opinions are changing. Do you think that in our lifetimes we're going to see this drug war reverse so that things like happen to you don't happen anymore?
Eric, I'm up against a break, so let me have Jamie answer that question in just a few minutes. It's an honor to have in the studio in this hour. We're enjoying an exclusive extended conversation with Jamie Graham, a graduate of the University of Virginia. He came to UVA in the fall of 88. He was arrested in Operation Equinox in the spring of 1991. He went to prison that fall and was released from prison in August of 1992. Jamie, before we went to a break, we were talking about the war on drugs. 20 years on now, looking back, put this into perspective for us. And I'm curious about your thoughts about the nation's war on drugs. And Eric's question, have we reached a kind of tipping point where we have more adults now who realize, you know, not only is this a tremendous waste of money and a waste of resources, but it just doesn't make any sense anymore.
I think that a lot of states have legalized medical marijuana, that California and so forth. So in a lot of these states that haven't legalized medical marijuana, when they do surveys, a majority of people in those states, I can tell you that Pennsylvania has an 85% support for medical marijuana. We don't have a medical marijuana bill that's made it through, but hopefully we might get one through in Pennsylvania. But we're seeing these very large numbers of people who are very open to the idea of medical marijuana. In many states, a majority of people supporting legal marijuana just for general recreational consumption. And also a lot of people beginning to question the drug war in general. There's a group, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. A lot of the people who have been in the front lines of the drug war are saying this just doesn't work. I mean, essentially, we by outlawing drugs, we give up a lot of control of drugs. Essentially, if drugs are legal, you can regulate them. You can put in restrictions on age so people don't sell drugs to children. You can make sure that drugs are pure and unadulterated. And if there are issues over the distribution of drugs, they can be taken out in the court of law as opposed to conducted by drive-by shootings in the way that a lot of other business disputes are conducted.
Well, there's a reason that we have alcohol and cigarettes, for example, are regulated by laws. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're regulated and the government controls them versus just letting the criminals control that market, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, while I think alcohol is probably, you know, alcohol and tobacco are actually the most problematic drugs out there in terms of health problems, in terms of causing people to commit violent crimes and so forth. When you think about what it would be like to go back to prohibition, no matter how bad alcohol is, I'm just so glad that it's not prohibited. You can buy it safely in a bar or a store. And I know that I'm not going to be buying something that's got strychnine in it. And also that if a bartender or bar owner has a problem with their distributor, they can go to court over it and settle it in a court of law as opposed to essentially having it being a gun battle. So again, you know, we've learned this with alcohol. We just need to apply this lesson to these other drugs. And I think the trouble is that once something has become such an extensive government program, it's hard to get rid of it because right now you've got a lot of people tied up in law enforcement, even in social services and also in supplying law enforcement and social services with everything they need to run a prison, you know, from guns to razor wire to special bedding and stuff like that. There's a lot of money invested in it. But the thing is, I think that we could really reinvest this. And also with our law enforcement resources, I don't know. I live in Philadelphia. I could think of a lot of things the police could be doing instead of going after people for marijuana. So
we're talking with Jamie Graham. He is live in studio, and we're honored to have him here. Jamie, tell me about the investigation. Take us back to Rugby Road in 1990, 1991. Because this was an undercover investigation, right?
Yeah, it started in 1990. There was actually sort of a warning went out through the Interfraternity Council that they were looking at fraternities. There were rumors going around town of federal agents being in town and so forth. One of the informant in my case, Tamer Nufi, was a Jordanian national who had come here on a student visa. He had been arrested with a certain quantity of marijuana. I couldn't remember exactly how much, but it was fairly substantial, like, you know, maybe a pound or something like that. I mean, and so he agreed to work as an informant because not only did they threaten him with prosecution, they threatened him with deportation back to Jordan, which for him would have been could have been back in a war zone. Since if you remember back in
fall of 1990,
we're all looking forward to the Persian Gulf War, and they didn't know whether Israel was going to get pulled in on that, and that would have made Jordan a battle zone. Anyway, not the time to be deported back to Jordan as a young 20-year-old. So the so Tamer Nufi agreed to work as an informant. They teamed him together with Mike Deeds, who was training to become a Charlottesville police officer, but he had never been out in the field, and they picked him because that way no one would identify him as someone they had recognized as a Charlottesville police officer. And so he posed as Tamer's friend, a student from James Madison University who was in from Harrisonburg. And so he would come by. Of course, then again, looking back at it, I mean, at one point near the end of the investigation, Tamer and Mike were popping by my place all the time just to see if they could get another sale off of me. But anyway, they had this investigation began. And then the thing is, at that time, and we were kind of naive, we assumed that if anybody had sold drugs to an undercover cop, they'd be arrested immediately. Later, well, for one thing, I was cellmates with a guy who was under investigation for 2 years, and he had the experience of having a friend of his suddenly turn on him and say, oh, by the way, I'm a DEA agent, and I've got you on 50 charges. So I found out undercover cops, if in a case like this, if they think they can rack up more sales, they will. So we knew that there was this investigation going on, but we weren't seeing any arrests and so forth. Plus, also,
so you were aware that there was an undercover investigation going on?
Yeah.
How? How did you know this?
Well, for one thing, there was a formal announcement. The Interfraternity Council announced it. I don't know whether they were told by the police or so forth, but it was announced that it had come to their attention that there was a drug investigation. It was going to be aimed at the fraternities. And so we had heard about that. Plus, also, there were different rumors. Some guy I know who lived in town claimed that he had waited on some people who were DEA agents. I mean, there were because the thing is, there was some truth there. And then, of course, there's all these other rumors. And
yeah.
I heard this and I heard that. But we did receive the formal warning from the Interfraternity Council. The thing is, I mean, we didn't think that we were really going to be – I didn't think I was going to be a target because I was a drug user, but I wasn't really a drug supplier. So I thought I was –
What do you mean by that when you say I wasn't really? What do you mean? You're a supplier.
Well, the thing is, under strict definition of distribution of drugs, if – let's just say if I had 2 doses of LSD and I handed you one and we both took them, I just committed distribution. So handing any drug to anybody else is distribution under the law. Technically, if they pass a joint around at a party, when you hand that joint to the person next to you, you've just committed distribution of an illicit substance. And so it's something a lot of people aren't aware of. They don't because when people say drug dealer, they think of, you know, a person who's really wealthy and so forth. I mean, when I was arrested, one of the things that my dad said was, wouldn't you have more money if you were dealing drugs? Because you seemed like you were broke all the time.
We're talking about Jamie Graham. He was arrested in Operation Equinox 20 years ago Monday, the 20th anniversary of Operation Equinox at the University of Virginia, when 6 students served time in federal prison. Jamie was one of them. 4 went to state jails. Charles is with us on the line. Charles, you go right ahead.
Served time in federal prison, Jamie.
Charles, you with us? Turn your radio down. Go right ahead.
Charles is with us.
Yeah. Go
Hello?
Ahead. Yeah, go right ahead.
Quick question. You talked about legalizing marijuana, medical marijuana, and then you moved on and said legalizing these and other drugs. Pardon the English teacher in me,
yeah.
But that's plural. What other drugs are you talking about?
Well, the thing is, right now, the question is as to whether there's really any, whether any of the, well, for one thing, I think that legalizing marijuana medically is something that's probably going to happen in most states soon, and we're going to start seeing legal marijuana being in most states soon. In terms of
you favor like other drugs being yeah.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to take. I have a somewhat ideological viewpoint on the fact that I don't think that the government should really be able to tell you exactly what to do with your own body. Of course, then again, I'm not a strict libertarian because I would like to see the government regulate what's in the drug so I know what I'm getting. But in terms of my personal opinion, I don't think it's really the government's viewpoint. Now, the thing is, I think that there are a lot of drugs you shouldn't do because they're stupid to do. And also, I see in the course of my work that drug addiction is an issue, but I think it should be dealt with as a health issue. I think that a lot of the money, if we spent the money that we're spending on law enforcement and made treatment available on demand immediately for everybody, we'd have a much more substantial and beneficial impact on drug addiction in this country than we have through prohibition.
On March 21st, 1991, law enforcement agents raided fraternity houses at the University of Virginia. Total of 10 students eventually went to jail, six to federal prison. Jamie Graham was one of those students, an Eccles honor student. He returned to get his degree from the University of Virginia in 1993 after serving nearly a year in prison. Jamie, do you remember when you were arrested?
Yes, I was arrested. The thing is, I was actually not in town on the evening of the 21st. I was at a Grateful Dead show. Well, actually, I tried to get into a Grateful Dead show, but I actually had spent the entire night in the parking lot of a Grateful Dead show and then came back, and there was police line around the house. And
I do want to say just really quickly, yes, to interrupt you here, that I was in graduate school at the time. Of course, we mm-hmm. knew each other, and mm-hmm. I was on Rugby Road that night going to a friend's house. It was a big dinner party. A whole bunch of us that worked on the corner were headed over there, and I remember that Rugby Road was just crawling with TV cameras.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The people who did the raid, the law enforcement agents, had alerted the media to get stationed and given them time to set up their cameras before they brought the guys out of the fraternity houses.
Yeah, when I was at Camp Petersburg, I had people tell me, "Hey, I got busted with far more drugs than you do. Why didn't I end up on national TV?" But yeah, it was they had all these TV cameras out there. They essentially it was a media stunt. I mean, more important than any actual drugs they were going to get, because again, they got what, $500 worth of drugs. Again, it was this image, and this was also one of the first big college raids. I mean, this is something that's happened since then. In fact, I remember at Camp Petersburg meeting people from a drug raid at West Virginia University and a drug raid at Radford and so forth. And now, yeah, you know.
Were you arrested outside of town or when you got back?
I got back into town, and I was told by another fraternity brother that they were looking for me and another fraternity brother of mine. And I then, after spending Friday trying to figure out what I was going to do, I turned myself into the Charlottesville police. And I actually had to wait in line behind people paying parking tickets to get the attention of a person in the glass booth to tell them, "I'm here to turn myself in on a federal drug warrant." You know, and they said, "Oh, just sit down. The detective will be with you." So I sat down. They came out and they called the feds and they said, "Well, we've got him here. What should we do with him?" "No, he came in on his own." "Okay, I'll tell him. They want you to turn yourself into the federal building on Monday." I'm like, "Oh, so I can go?" He says, "Yeah, just don't leave town and you better turn yourself in on Monday." And so that's what I did. And when then I turned myself in, I was in the marshal's office for an hour. I go up to the courtroom with two federal marshals in the elevator. And then on the elevator, they say, "Oh, we need to handcuff you." And I'm like, "Well, okay." So they put handcuffs on me. The elevator opens up and the hallway is filled with cameras. And then they both grab me by the arm and drag me into the court like they had caught me. And I'm thinking, my dad dropped me off here this morning. I mean, I walked into the building of my own free will. But it was, you know, so I was arrested. My dad signed a piece of paper saying, "Yes, you can take my house if my son tries to leave." So they released me back out. I worked on a food cart. Oh, I wanted to just make a quick shout out to a UVA alumni who passed away a month ago. Randy Phillips graduated in 1975, happened to be working on the food cart with me during the spring and summer. And I'd just like to thank him because he was a great support of emotional support for me. He was very familiar with UVA and fairly familiar with the drug scene around Charlottesville. And but anyway, he was very sympathetic and he passed away about a month ago. So I just wanted to kind of give my tribute to him. But anyway, so, and then we went to trial. We had pursued an entrapment defense because I had turned down them two or three times that evening and then finally gave them two doses. They gave me $10 in the form of two fives and I gave them one of the fives back saying, "Oh, $10 is too much."
Yeah.
But the entrapment defense didn't really go anywhere because one of the guys I bought the LSD from, Matt Evans, was going to testify against me, and they were going to say, "Well, you knew Matt Evans was dealing, so you were hanging out with him. So technically, you were conspiring with Matt Evans." So that was enough to make me say, "Okay, maybe I'm not going to take you guys to a jury trial." I pled guilty, and I got a year.
Yeah. You and I have spoken before. We're talking with Jamie Graham. We only have about two or three minutes left,
yeah,
but you and I have spoken before, and you have told me that, of course, that it was terrifying going into prison. But once that you were there for even a little period of time, you just realized how incredibly boring it is.
Yeah, it's mainly boring. It's not something that you really see in prison movies because, well, boring doesn't translate well into entertainment. It would look like an Andy Warhol movie where you'd watch guys do nothing for 8 hours. But, I mean, you know, 99% of it's pretty boring. I got a lot of reading done. I got in shape. I mean, like, when I look back at it now, 20 years later, I mean, and also I've seen... I've dealt with a lot of people coming out of state prison and seen the problems that they've had like after five, 10 years, and they have no education and no job history. So I look at my experience and I'm like, ah, not so bad. You know, hey, could have been worse.
You know? You were in prison with Mayor Barry.
Oh,
right?
I got to meet Marion Barry. Yeah, he borrowed some progressive magazines from me. but unfortunately, he got chipped away for a sex act with a woman other than his wife in the visiting room. And he got... So I never got those back. But anyway, I just remember we had one conversation. When I gave him the magazines, he said, hey, you're one of the kids from UVA, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I read about your case. I said, oh, I read about yours.
Jamie Graham arrested in the spring of 1981 in Operation Equinox when federal agents, local agents, raided fraternity houses at the University of Virginia. 2 minutes left. Any final thoughts?
Well, I want
to... And we want to let folks know that you're speaking at UVA Monday night, which is the... Monday is the 20th anniversary of the raid and the arrests, and you're speaking in Gibson Hall at 7 o'clock.
Yes, and I'll be speaking in room either...
341 or 343.
341 or 343. They should be right next to each other, so check both of them. But real quick, I guess... well, I work as a social worker now. I mean, ironically, having gone to jail led to my first job in social work. I worked with people with HIV in the Philadelphia jail. And when I interviewed for it and I told them, well, I'd actually been incarcerated, they said, oh, we'd like to hire from the target population. And so I started working with ex-offenders. I now work with teenagers, a lot of whom are in the criminal justice system. But I mean, in a way, it led to this sort of work. And right now, I've realized that after working several years as a social worker, I guess I am a social worker, and it's time to make it official with an a Master's of Social Work, because I've been just, you know, using my Eccles non-major degree mostly in philosophy, which actually does come in handy in social work. you always use philosophy every day. But anyway, and so in a way, it led me to where I'm at right now. And I'm still alive, so I'm at peace right now. I'd like to have lunch with my former probation officer at some point. So, you know. Oh, hey, David Bean, thanks for getting me the paperwork. I'm trying to get my rights back in Virginia if I ever move back here. And I'd like to thank David Bean at Federal Probation here in Charlottesville for helping me out. He's a pretty decent guy.
Jamie Graham, a graduate of the University of Virginia. Jamie, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Will.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.